before I get too far along tonight, I need only remind you that tonight is Good Friday, but I do need to offer thanks to both Greg and Chris, who will help me tonight in what I hope gives remembrance unto Good Friday. Would you please join with me in prayer? Our gracious Father, we oftentimes get caught up in each season as it comes by, in each holiday as it comes to our attention. And sometimes we forget to give full weight. But blessed we are tonight to be together, sharing in that remembrance, that proclamation that our Savior died for us. We invite all who may be around, if they would find their way to this door, to yet come in as service is going. And furthermore, we invite you fully in place in our hearts, fully investing us in your message here tonight, and fully helping us to grasp what actually took place. Thank you for the hearts and minds, Father, that you have given us, that we would endeavor to lay aside our earthly desires and pleasures to be yet in your house on an off night, Father, worshiping and celebrating something that the world may look upon as morbid, but we look at as a beautiful story, as something that had to take place in order that we would be saved. Let us endeavor not to forget that by His stripes we are all healed. Let us join our hearts together now as we seek your gentle blessing and pray as your Son taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I've asked Linda to take and read to us from John chapter 17 regarding a prayer that Jesus made for future believers that would have taken place yesterday evening, but so want was his desire that we here today be prayed for 2,000 years ago.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Please stand and turn to page 328.
Thank you.
Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we commit to your care and keeping this message. We ask that on this night, that this simply be placed before you, Father. That our hearts and that our minds would be opened accordingly. That this night would be the night we remember. Tragic as though it was, destructive as it was, painful as it was, there was joy to be laid out. Heavenly Father, please put us into your care at this time and allow us some time of silent reflection. Now, Father, hear our hearts as we commit to you, as we give to you, as we beg humbly for your Spirit in this place. Heavenly Father, come before us now and let this message be heard from you. That we remember what took place on this night so long ago, that it will continue to be our story, that we will proclaim it until you call us home. Prepare our hearts, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I came simply to you. I could have stayed where I was. I didn't have to come down here. I didn't have to be born of a woman. I didn't have to be born from a sinful beginning. I didn't have to come down here. And yet I did. I found that the only answer was to look and say, Father, I'll come down. Send me how you find best, knowing that since the beginning of time, this would be my mission. Knowing that since the beginning of time, my day would come. I was born in a manger. I was born in a place where animals lay, in a place that smelled like animals and muscle and sweat and dirt. There was no room where I was to be born in an inn. I was wrapped in cloth, laid in a manger where the animals eat from. I did not get born into great wealth of gold and purple and frankincense and beauty. I was born simply to save you. And of that, my name is Jesus Christ. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. I was 12 when the foundation was started. A foundation is often a simple pile of rocks set up to hold up something, be it the house, be it a barn, be it a place to mark a well, or to hold a cross. My foundation began. I found myself drawn to the temple, knowing that within the temple I would see the very foundation of who I was to become in the eyes of my Father as I walked here, yet to come, in flesh and blood on earth. I would see that beyond this foundation that I'm laying would become churches where my believers would find me, where they would walk through a door into a building, a structure, a home, a whatever, and they would begin upon a foundation I would lay, worshiping me, trusting me, finding my everlasting life simply laid out when they call on my name and profess that belief. And in order to get to that point to save you, I had to put a foundation down for what was yet to come. My name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And his message was, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I'm now 30 years old. And I have to leave my parents. I have to leave the love and safety that was given to me when I accepted to come to earth to live. The prophet said, "Make the path straight. Lead us straight through. Make the pathway straight." 30 years old, and my mission will begin. My time will come. I must go and be about my Father's business. First, I must be tempted. I am no different. I still think. I still breathe. If you pinch me, I will hurt. I must go forward now, knowing that I only have but a short time, knowing that the temptation that Satan will give me for the next 40 days will be nothing compared to what is yet to come. But make no mistake, my children, I will go straight in the direction that I'm pointed. I will stay straight on the path that will lead to my death and your salvation. Make no mistake, friends. I go knowing what I have yet to do, but I go with my heart breaking. For I know each and every one of you and your fears and your pain. And for that, I will go straight forward to save you. My name is Jesus Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You will ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." I am so tired. I have been preaching for a long time now, and even my own disciples still argue about me. Even the ones that have seen my miracles still fight with me. Even those that sit in front of me determine that their own ways must be from their heart and not from the Father's will and not from what I can give them. I am so tired. Rest doesn't come as easy as it did. I'm about to come to my crossroads. And I know it. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I know that the day is coming that I must pass to set you free. And I must go away, but I am making a place for you. And I preach and I preach and I beg that people hear me. And yet we continue to be within our own sin, even while I stand in front of you. I know what's waiting for me, not too far from now. And yet, the kingdom is as real today as it will be in the future. There'll be a time that I will pray for all of you future believers who will come to know me. And I will teach you that the kingdom is as real as it ever was. And I will die to make sure you know that. Ask me, and I will do it. Don't be tired. Don't struggle. Don't allow yourself to be taken away. Ask me, and I will be there always. My name is Jesus Christ. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." The men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. I had friends. And yet I knew he kissed me goodbye. He fulfilled the scriptures, and then it happened. I will spend the next several hours of my life, my last hours on earth, being questioned over and over again as to who I am. I will be yelled at and spit upon by the very people that I have come to save. I will be beaten. I will be stripped naked in front of the crowd. I will have whips and chains laid against me, and hooks and sticks beat upon me until my flesh is so torn that you will be able to see things that were never meant to be seen from under the skin. I will be laid open for you. I will be beat down my back and my legs and my feet and my arms and my hands and my face and my head over and over and over again for hours on end, so that you will be saved. I will wear a coat mocking me, and someone will take a crown and they will twist it out of thorns, and they will press it down on my head so that the thorns dig in and I bleed yet again. And they will worship me as the Jesus, as the King of the Jews. And they will not understand who I really am. The crowd that you were, that welcomed me only a week ago, now cries for my blood. I will be destroyed, humiliated, and beaten. I asked my Father to do this so that you would have everlasting life. I asked my Father to allow this humiliation upon His greatest creation, His Son, so that you would be saved from hell. I asked my Father to send me here to live among you, and think not for a moment that I don't feel every cut of the whip, every slap of the hand, every poke of the stick. I am doing this to save your very life. My name is Jesus Christ. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves, for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, that the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if the men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified. There they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said to them, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching, and even the rulers sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. I carried my cross. After they beat me, after they tortured me, after they all but destroyed me, I carried my own cross for as far as my body would allow to where I would die. The people that praised me hated me. The people that loved me now hurled insults at me, and yet I love you still. They hung two men with me, and I loved them enough that when the one simply asked, I promised him everlasting life. He believed in me as I hung on the cross. It took the blood and the bruising and the absolute terror that I had now become to make him realize that I am the Son of God. And that today I died for you. And I died. I want you to think about that for a moment. There was no loved ones surrounding me. There was no medical beeping going on in the background. There was pain and agony and sadness and despair. And I died alone, my own Father turning away from me. My own Heavenly Father, unable to look at the sin that was heaped on me at this moment, placed there by You, that I gladly took, so that You would know me and love me and be with me. My own Father looked away. I died on a cross. I died on a cross for You, so that You would have everlasting life. That if You so believe in Me, You will not perish. I had my body broken and fulfilled every ounce of prophecy for You. My name is Jesus Christ. Lights up, great.
Cherish thee, oh.
be seated. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy." And now hear the words yet from Jesus. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And so we come from the beginning to the end. This is not just wood or a symbol. This is a truth. This is the cross our Savior bled and died upon this day. This day. So that each and every one of you can lay aside whatever it is that you think is important in your life and do His work and survive to see your time laid off in the kingdom. Jesus Christ died for you today. I would simply ask that as we prepare to leave from here today, this is not a time of fellowship. It is a time of joy, but it is not a time of laughter and communion. It is a time of somber reverence. It is a time that as we leave this place tonight, we let these memories be etched in our heart, that we may dwell on them over the next several hours, the few short hours, until we come together again to celebrate His resurrection. I simply ask that you go quietly tonight, in peace and in thought, and in Jesus' name.
Lord, we come before you with bowed heads, bowed hearts. Lord, we thank you for the brokenness that you've caused in us, that you can make us up into the spiritual household that you've called us to be. Lord, never allow us to forget what you have saved us from and to the purpose in which you have left us here on earth. The Great Commission. The love between our brothers and sisters. The hope that we are ready to give in season and out of season. Lord, I ask a blessing upon each one of my brothers and sisters here this evening, that you would keep them and that you would continue to direct them, that you would place upon their hearts the mission and the spiritual gift that you would give them to fulfill. Lord, I ask that you continue to be with our families, not only of those by blood, but those of the Spirit. Those that could not make it here this evening, and Lord, be thankful for your safety in us getting here this evening. Until we meet back together again, Lord, keep us in somber spirit. Keep us humble. Keep us in your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.